Country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Hillista Wool, Ontario country artist Carly June is here to share two brand new songs that she's written. She heads to Nashville next week, and she'll be performing at Lucknow's Music in the Fields in August. My pleasure now to welcome Carly June to the show. Hey, Carly.
How's it going, Dave?
It's going great. So nice to have you here.
It's awesome to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm really excited because we do have those two songs to share. Not only did you write them, but they're very new. In fact, I think most people will be hearing them for the first time on the show.
Yeah, no one really has heard them. I've played the upbeat one a few times at a couple shows, but they're coming out on iTunes in August, and I'm really excited about that. So it's great to be here debuting them.
Terrific. And one of the songs is a ballad that is beautiful, that really showcases your voice in that kind of ballad way. And we're going to get to that. I can't wait. Let's go back in time, Carly. And when did you first realize that you wanted to pursue music?
Oh, boy. You know, it's hard to think back to that exact moment when I decided I was going to pursue music. Because to me, you know, it's always been music for as long as I can remember. My parents would probably tell you when I was about 8 years old that I started wanting to perform in public. So I would get up on stage, you know, every chance I could, whether that was in school, or a lot of my singing actually happened in church, where I sang with the kids' choir there. So my family wasn't really a musical family. So to them, it was kind of out of the blue that I wanted to be a country singer. But when I sang my first solo, I think I was 9 at the time, they really started to take me seriously, and they were like, oh, you know, she wants to do this. So ever since then, I've just been pursuing it as much as I can. I graduated university a year ago. I did my music degree. So now that that's finished, I've just had a lot of time to just be able to write as much as I can. I've been really going for this music thing hardcore. So just writing and performing, and I've done obviously some recording in the last year too. So yeah, things are going great.
Pretty exciting. Yeah, it definitely sounds like it. And you've got Music in the Fields coming up, which we'll talk about. You've opened up for Terry Clark and Chuck Wicks not too long ago. We're going to talk about that as well. But you mentioned country music really from the start when you first started singing. And I mean, I got into country music at a very young age. But for you, how did that happen? Because, you know, sometimes younger people gravitate towards pop or rock.
Mm-hmm. Well, my dad was always listening to country music. I grew up on a farm, so I can remember my dad being out milking the cows and just blasting Shania Twain, and he would take his pitchfork and pretend to air guitar.
Right.
So I definitely heard it a lot there. But, you know, I would watch the Shania Twain videos that they used to have on TV, and I would record them with my parents' VHS player. And I would just watch them over and over, and I would literally sit in front of the TV for hours just, like, staring at Shania, and I just wanted to be her. So she was definitely a huge reason why I got into country music.
Yeah, I think she must have influenced, I'm sure, so many of the artists out there, male or female, just because she made it so cool and just so exciting when you watched her perform.
Oh, yeah. She is just such an awesome performer. And she definitely has that element of pop music in there too, right? So it brings in a lot of people who wouldn't otherwise listen to country music, and that's definitely something that I try to go for as an artist too.
That's true. I always like talking to artists about that, and I find it interesting that certain artists will introduce, you know, friends and family, and then fans, of course, but people who didn't think they liked country music, but then they listened to this friend of theirs sing it, and they realize they do like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people need to know that country music is more than just pickup trucks. You know, there's a lot to
it,
and I think it goes really deep for a lot of people, and country music is a way of life for a lot of people, and I think it's just that anchor that keeps bringing them back.
That's true. Now, who do you think, Carly, why do you think country music, I should say, what does it do better than any other genre?
Well, as I was saying, you know, country music is more than just a music genre. It's as much as it changes in styles and trends over the years, it's always sounding a little bit different, but there's always that sense of home in country music that I think a lot of genres don't have, you know. Mm-hmm. It's always consistent. You can always come back to it and feel that sense of home if country music is your thing.
I like that. That makes sense, and that's how I feel about it too, whether I'm listening to the radio or records or whatever, but there is that feeling of coming home, especially when you listen to older stuff that you grew up on and you just have that familiarity with it. You had a great chance to open up for some really big names. Chuck Wicks, of course, is an American country artist who's had some great hits. Terry Clark, pretty much legendary now, great Alberta country artist, still going strong, has a new album coming out. What was it like to open for both of them?
Oh my gosh, this experience was just absolutely incredible. It was such a fun night. It was in Guelph, and the place was so hot that night, but the audience was just on fire with energy, and that was so cool for me to experience. And I was just really thankful to be given that opportunity. You know, I listened to a lot of Terry's stuff growing up, and I've seen her in concert before too. So to be able to share the stage with her was just an absolute blessing. And it was really cool also to just hang out with the band backstage and be able to get their advice, you know, for an up-and-coming artist. All around an excellent experience, and I definitely won't forget that one for a while. So thank you so much to Guelph for having me in on that one.
That is so awesome, and I was reading that that advice you mentioned came from some people in Chuck Wicks' band. Can you give us a hint on one piece of advice they gave you to improve or better your career, move it along?
Well, actually, one of the best pieces of advice that they gave me was to get my butt down to Nashville, where I'm actually going next week. But they said, perform, you know, as much as you can, network with other artists, and don't be afraid to get in and on jobs that you wouldn't normally take, for example, a backup singer in someone else's group, to just get into the field, get more people hearing your name, with just some great advice there.
That is great advice, and yeah, Nashville is a big part of that, and as you said, starting anywhere just to sort of make some doors open as a background singer or whatever. What would you hope to accomplish when you head down to Nashville next week? Do you have any writing appointments, anybody you're going to meet, or what do you hope to do while you're there?
Well, I have a couple of contacts down there that I'm going to meet up with that are setting some stuff up for me. I really just want to kind of check out the city and do a lot of networking. Then in the next year, it's my plan to go down a few times. So I'm hoping after this first trip, I'll have some more contacts and writers that I can meet with over the next year, so that when I go back, it'll be more writing focused and more performing focused. But, you know, I want to get up there and perform while I'm there next week as well. So, yeah.
That is very exciting. Great things will happen for sure. And, you know, you'll get introduced to Nashville and learn so much. We're going to turn to a song now, which many people are going to be hearing for the very first time. It's called Not Hot Anymore. It's a great up-tempo song that you wrote yourself. Can you tell us something about the song before we share it, Carly?
Oh, yeah. This is it's very a pop-inspired country song. It's a song about someone, you know, that you thought was different and cool, and you were just really into them, and then they went and changed their ways, and instead of you liking that, it's just like, you know what, you're just not that hot anymore. So I hope everyone likes the song and can sing along one day.
Awesome. This is Carly June and Not Hot Anymore on In the Country.
What happened to the guy I knew a little bit tell a story. You put away, you washed out the one I couldn't live without, and thought that maybe I could love you anyhow. But no, whoa, oh, it don't work like that. No.
And that is my guest, Carly June. That's a song she wrote. It's called Not Hot Anymore, and that'll be available on iTunes in August. Her website is carlyjune.com, and you sound great on that. And the production's super, too. Who is the producer and studio on that one?
Oh, thank you. The studio I recorded at is called Red Valley Recording Studios. A couple of friends of mine are really young producers. They're just so talented. They work with Beverly Mahood, Leah Daniels, and Vanessa Marie Carter as well. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, Red Valley Recording Studios out of Toronto, Ontario.
Very cool. And the producer on that?
There was three of them, actually. So it's Al Rowe, Rich De Silva, and Will Hebbs together.
Very cool. They did a great job. Sounds great. Got another song coming up from you a bit later, a beautiful ballad. Now, Carly, you had a lot of musical education, and part of that was being trained classically, which I'm sure even if you don't sing that style, it's great, great experience.
Oh, yeah. I studied at Wilfrid Laurier University, where I studied opera. And it was just so great to have that awesome background of technique under my belt. I can sing so much stronger, you know, having that technique and so much more healthily. And I think that's
right.
Really, really important for a lot of singers if you want to have a big career ahead of you, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. For sure,
mm-hmm.
I guess there's a lot of vocal techniques, right, too. As you said, the endurance to be able to sing a full night without losing your voice or having it go weak on you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. It's so important. And I'm actually a vocal coach as well. So I love passing that on to other people and helping them out too.
Perfect. Now, there are so many great artists in country music that you could duet with. I wanted to ask you, if you've had some time to think about it, who your dream duet partner would be from country music.
That is such a hard question. There's so many people I would love to work with. But, you know, I think thinking about it, probably the people I would love to work with, I would love to do a gospel duet with Vince Gill. And probably
nice.
Carrie Underwood as well. I don't know if you've seen it online, but Carrie Underwood singing How Great Thou Art. I think it was at an award show.
So
that was just so moving. Yeah, just so moving. So I would love to do something like that. That would just be a huge dream for me, having grown up singing in church as well.
Oh, yeah. That would be a perfect fit. What about anybody outside of country music? Is there anybody, Carly, that you might think would be an interesting match for your country pop style and another artist?
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm actually influenced by a lot of non-country music as well. So I listen to a lot of kind of alternative indie kind of scene. So, and also in the pop field in Canadian country music, or not country music, but pop, Sarah McLachlan. I would love to work with her. And also Tegan and Sarah, they're Canadian as well. And I really like their stuff. So it'd be super cool to work with them.
That sounds great. Now, you won the Ontario Open Country Singing Contest, and you came in top 10 in the Ontario Youth Talent Search. How great does it feel, especially with the one you won? That's got to be a confidence boost.
Yeah, it was fun. You know, I did a lot of those contests growing up, and it was kind of how I got onto the stage in the first place. And, you know, you win some and you lose some. Winning was always awesome, of course, because your hard work is paid off. But I just learned so much from going in those contests, and you'd always get a little slip afterwards with all the judges' criticism. And I would take that, and I would try to learn from what they said so that next year when I went back, I would be a better performer and a better vocalist. And so once I won, it was like all that hard work had paid off. So, that was an awesome experience for sure.
It's great when you can work towards that, right? I mean, I'm sure it's great to win right out of the gate, but if you've got to work at it, and like you said, you take that constructive criticism and work on it, it's really rewarding to know that it's worked, the advice that you took.
Oh, yeah, and I think that when you really work hard at something and really fight for what you want and really strive for that every single day, it makes it so much more meaningful, right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah. You get to, it's a reward because it didn't come easy. And on that constructive criticism subject, if you were to talk to a young singer-songwriter, somebody starting out, just starting to write songs and get up on stage, how would you tell them about the importance of constructive criticism? Because, you know, obviously some people, maybe especially when you're new, you either get hurt or defensive. But I know that it's important to listen to that because, you know, somebody else is trying to help you to improve your career.
Mm-hmm. I would say definitely take the advice that you're given, but take it with a grain of salt. You have to follow your heart at the end of the day. You know what area you're headed in and what your intentions were with the song. So definitely take their advice and try to grow from that. But just know that if one person doesn't like your performance, it's not the end of the world. You know, even if you're the best peach in the world, there's always going to be someone who hates peaches, right? So just go with who you are and be yourself on the stage for sure. And take their advice, but remember that.
That's a good point. You take the advice, but you also keep in mind if it's only coming from one person, that you know, somebody else may have a whole different opinion, so you weigh it all out. You have got the chance, I want to hear how all this happened, to perform at Lucknow's Music in the Fields coming up in August, which is really exciting. First of all, congratulations on having that happen. That's great.
Thanks. I'm so excited. I can't wait until the end of August to be there.
So cool. So how did this come about? How did you get to play? There's some pretty big names there as well.
Yeah, Dierks Bentley is going to be there. Tim Hicks, Gord Bamford, tons of other ones. I'm super excited. Mm-hmm. So I entered into a contest online through Lucknow's Music in the Fields called the Sepoy Saloon Showdown. So people from Ontario band submitted videos, and there was a panel of judges that selected the top videos of your band performing, and then they had fans vote. So it was about, I think it was a week and a half long of voting, and it seemed like the longest time ever because we were all so anxious. So I had a lot of incredible fans, and especially my hometown in Listowel, jump behind me and support me on that one and vote every single day. And then the top two bands got to perform at Lucknow. So, yeah, that's going to be such a fun time. I'm really excited.
And I think the event is sold out already.
Yeah, I think it sold out yesterday.
That's incredible. It's such a big event and a popular one. What how many songs will you have the chance to perform?
So I'll be doing a 50-minute set on the Saturday, so August 23rd. I'm on around noon. So, yeah, 50 minutes I'll be on for.
Nice. That is going to be great exposure for you and a lot of people to hear about your music at that point. Let's turn to another song, another one that you wrote, and this one is brand new, so we're debuting it, and it'll be available on iTunes, as you mentioned, in August. This one is called One More Reason, and when I heard this, I thought, wow, it showcases your voice, and it's such a beautiful song. Carly, what can you tell us about it?
One More Reason is a song about hope. It's a song about finding that little light at the end of the tunnel, and whether you're going through a breakup, a hard time in life. It's just about finding that one more reason to hang on, to keep fighting for what you want, even when you want to give up. So that's One More Reason.
It's a great one. This is Carly June, One More Reason on In the Country. listable on Cherry Hill Country artist Carly June, and that is called One More Reason. And, man, there's some powerful singing there, Carly.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
It sounds great, and most people are getting a chance to hear that for the first time, which is exciting, and that will be available on iTunes in August. When did you write your first song, Carly? Can you take us back to that and how that felt and maybe even what it was about?
Oh, boy. So I think I wrote my first song when I was 9, probably. My dad really was pushing me, you know, write your own stuff. And I think I came up with this song called Girls with Guitars. So it was
more
of a joke than anything. But when I was in high school, I started taking writing a little bit more seriously. So I'd write and I'd play my own stuff at my shows. And then I read a book called The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. And after reading that, I started to look at writing a little bit differently. So I would really recommend that book to a lot of up-and-coming songwriters. It really got me into journaling, so I would journal a lot just about every day about whatever I was going through. And it really made my feelings about certain situations come clear. You know, like half the time, you don't really even know how you feel about a situation. So that really helped my writing a lot. And yeah, just from there, I try to write every single day, even when it's hard and you don't want to, I try to write. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do say it's like a muscle, a creative muscle that you've got to exercise to keep, you know, the ideas flowing.
Mm-hmm. And some days it's so hard to not just throw out a song, throw it in the trash and think, oh, that was no good. I think that you have to write a lot of songs before you come up with something that you really like, and that's the importance of just writing all the time. And you never know when you're going to come back to a song that you might have otherwise thrown away.
That's a good point. Yeah, if you've got it written down or taped, you might give up on it, but you go back to it later with, I guess, fresh ears and all that, and you may find a way to get the song going again.
Oh, for sure.
Now, what do you think makes somebody, you mentioned that book there, what are some tips maybe that you can pass on that would help improve somebody's songwriting, somebody starting out at it who may not have had a few years of experience to get better?
Mm-hmm. I would say that when you're writing a song, target what the song is going to be about. You know, make it a purpose that people are going to remember, something that's going to stick in their minds. Like I have this song called He Ain't Worth My Mascara, and everyone, every time I play it at a show, they say, oh, that mascara song. So I'd say that that's really helpful if you can get people to remember what you're writing about. But, you know, right from your heart, I wouldn't be too concerned about writing a hit. I think the best songs come from the songs that the artist has really felt. And it's not necessarily something that they might have even experienced, but something that they've observed in life that's been going on, and maybe they've drawn into something that they're experiencing as well.
Great advice. There is so much to learn about songwriting, isn't there? And I think you get to a point when you've done it enough that with that advice and the time just doing it, you really get better at it.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And you develop your own style along that path too, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Some writers have their own unique style. I mean, a lot of people write commercial songs, if you will, which are great, and other people have their own unique style that maybe puts a different kind of spin on a topic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And you're an example right there, the mascara song, He's Not Worth My Mascara. I mean, that's a great hook for a song.
Yeah, yeah. I always laugh when people call it the mascara song. But as long as they're remembering it, you know, if it sticks
that's
in their
right.
mind, then that's awesome.
Exactly. Now, I know that you do cover songs in your shows, and you've got some YouTube videos, for example, Lady Antebellum, Hey Bartender. You do a great job on that, you and your guitar. What are some of your other favorite cover songs to do?
I love doing Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen. That's probably my all-time favorite. Katie Lang did it really well. And, you know, it's just so moving. So I really like that one. And I also love surprising people at shows and throwing in an old rock cover that no one's really expecting, but everyone knows.
Right.
Like, I love doing AC/DC, You Shook Me All Night Long. And it just gets everyone pumped up and dancing. I just love it.
That's great. Yeah, throw a little twist in there, something they're not expecting. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's lots of fun.
And the Leonard Cohen song, I mean, Hallelujah, as you said, Katie Lang had that beautiful version at the Olympics, and a lot of people have covered the song. It's just one of those songs that is just so beautiful.
It really is. Those lyrics, too, are just absolutely breathtaking.
Oh, the depth. I mean, Leonard Cohen, his writing is just so deep and so moving. What do you hope, Carly, to accomplish, let's say, over the next year with your music career? What kind of goals have you set for yourself?
Well, over the next year, it's definitely one of my goals just to get my own music out there, develop myself as an artist, not just as a country singer, but have fans that are following me because they love my music specifically. So in October, we're talking about doing a little bit of a showcase tour just around Ontario a little bit. So we're hoping to go to Toronto, Kitchener, London, all over the big cities around here. So that would be really great. So just keep writing as much as I can, get my name out there, perform every opportunity. And I would love to get some stuff on the radio in the next year too. That'd be stellar.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Well, you are on your way with these two great recordings that we heard in Nashville next week to do some more writing and performing. And, of course, Lucknow's Music in the Fields, which is sold out at the end of August. You'll be performing there. It's been so great having you on the show and chatting with you, Carly.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dave, for having me.
My pleasure. I wish you all the best with everything in the upcoming year, and much success to you. My guest has been country artist Carly June. Her website is carlyjune.com. I'm Dave Woods. For more country music interviews, you can head on over to inthecountryinterviews.com.